Texas will know and remember the Alamo.
San Antonio, Texas is a southwestern city rich in culture and history. Why, who can't think of this beautiful town and not be reminded to remember the Alamo? But in fact, there were 5 Spanish missions that served as refuge along the San Antonio River during the tumultuous 1700s. The other 4 missions, Concepcion, San Jose, San Juan, and Espada, make up the San Antonio Missions National Park. These outposts were established by Catholic religious orders to spread Christianity among the local natives. Originally painted in brilliant colors, each mission could be seen from a distance by the weary and were intended to be a day's walk apart from one another. Today, the time-worn architecture and art of these beautiful Spanish colonial missions have their own unique stories to tell. San Juan is even feeding the hungry. More on that in a bit. But first, the largest of the 5 missions, San Jose. Inside the mission San Jose, talking to National Park archaeologist Susan Snow. Susan, can you tell us a little bit about the mission?
Sure. Mission San Jose is one of 5 missions along the San Antonio River, and it was the largest of the missions in the Spanish colonial period in the 18th century. And each mission was a self-sustaining community, so they all had their own irrigation system in order to run their own farms and their own ranches to be able to provide food for the indigenous people that were brought into the missions to learn how to become good Spanish citizens.
You were speaking a little earlier about how each mission had to be at least a day apart?
Yes, according to the law of the Indies, each mission was supposed to be a day apart. Here on the San Antonio River, after Mission San Antonio de Valero was established, Father Marheel, the founder of Mission San Jose, came through and he looked at the abundance of the San Antonio River and the floodplain and went back to the governor of Coahuila y Tejas and said, you know, this is really an area that has a lot of indigenous people that need to learn how to be good Catholics and good Spanish citizens, and so convinced the governor that it was all right to bring a second mission here to the San Antonio River Valley, and so that happened in 1720.
And at what point did it become the Queen Mission?
Well, by 1785, it was completed, and Father Morphy came through on an inventory of Spanish lands and missions, and he pronounced it at that time the most beautiful queen of the missions.
Of course, now we're standing here and we're looking at what seems to be kind of a ruins of sorts. But did it look like this with the browns and the grays and whatnot? Did it look like that back then?
No, you know, if you had come on horseback or on foot across what would have been grasslands along the river at that time, you would have seen this gorgeous, brightly colored structure lifting itself out of the grasslands with red and white stripes on the Roman arches of the convento and multicolored cartouches or squares with floral patterns on the church structure itself. And the indigenous quarters would have been whitewashed or lime-washed white, so it really would have stood out amongst the greens on the river valley.
And is it a working parish?
It is. This is today, Mission San Jose is an active parish with over 300 families and is still run by the Franciscan order within the Greater Archdiocese of San Antonio.
Originally, though, they didn't necessarily care for the corn. They liked the wheat, yeah?
Well, they used corn because
yeah,
that was a thing.
Of course.
In the late 1700s, there was a priest that, well, we joke, must have really liked wheat because he requested a mill to be constructed to grind wheat to make bread and communion wafers. And, of course, you don't need a mill for corn, so... He wanted that little extra home taste of wheat that he remembered from his Mexico City days.
I see. And so agriculture played a huge role in this mission. We're about to go to see San Juan, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Tell me a little bit about what role agriculture played here on the grounds.
Well, agriculture played a big role at all the missions because they had to be self-sufficient, but the farmlands would have been just north of here. Inside the compound here, you would have had your chickens and your pigs kind of running around. You would have had perhaps small, what we would call a house garden just outside the walls for your herbs and things that you needed on an everyday basis that you didn't want to have to go out into the farm fields and pick. There would have been corrals outside here that would have held the cattle, sheep, and goats that were brought up on a regular basis to butcher to eat. Approximately 10 cattle every week to 10 days were brought up from the ranches. So these people ate a lot of meat.
No one went away hungry.
No one went away hungry, at least not from what we can see from the archaeological record.
Well, I'm anxious to get down to the farm. Should we go there?
Definitely. I think it's going to be a big day.
Thank you, Susan.
Thank you.
Mission San Juan Capistrano is the only Spanish colonial demonstration farm in the National Park Service. And on May 20th of 2016, the San Antonio Food Bank, which is the largest hunger relief organization in Southwest Texas, signed an agreement with the National Park Service to increase food production for area food insecure residents. Torn Metz has been farming the demonstration fields at this Mission with a Mission for a little more than a year and is helping the food bank make its transition.
The Mission San Juan has recently partnered with the San Antonio Food Bank, and I'm standing here talking with the farmer here, Torin Metz. Torin, you're with the National Park Service?
I'm working alongside the National Park Service, so I'm technically through an AmeriCorps program working with the Texas Conservation Corps, but basically I'm working alongside the National Park Service to in the development of this farm. So there was 2 years of funding for my position, and it's actually worked out great because I'm in the second year and this agreement is being made. So the future of this farm seems more certain, you know, with this agreement. My future, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen after this, but I'm excited for the changes that are going to go on here. I think there's a wonderful infrastructure that the food bank is developing for production, and it's great that they're in here because that already established core seems to be functioning very well. You know, they're producing a lot of food on their 20 acres, and so they obviously have a game plan, the know-how, the equipment, and I think they're going to be a good fit for kind of making this land more productive, bringing it back into production, because the majority of it, you know, I'm just one person right now, and I've got limitations. The majority of it is fallow, just waiting for somebody to come out there. And so I think they're actually going to be able to make that happen.
So explain exactly what the agreement entails.
I think basically it is giving the food bank access to about 45 acres in exchange for that 45 acres, which will be grown with their own methodology, which I believe is organic, with irrigation, with modern irrigation, like drip tape. They're going to produce food on that 45 acres that will go into the local community through their own distribution means. In exchange, they're going to maintain and help develop 5 acres, which are being protected and kind of run with a mission by the National Park Service to be a historical farm that will utilize the historic acequia irrigation system and also feature period crops, and it'll kind of function as a educational site for anybody in the community who wants to come. And school groups have already been coming out here, so I'm sure that will only continue to develop. Educational programs will develop, I'm sure, as well.
So explain what an acequia is.
An acequia is basically a fancy word for an irrigation ditch. So the Spanish coming to San Antonio saw the great potential in the San Antonio River for irrigation. And obviously, if you look back in time, river valleys are known for their fertility. So they made these ingenious systems of basically placing dams on the river and creating these ditches that would run along the contour of the land and return to the river at some point. So at San Juan, we've got this irrigation ditch, the acequia, which is 7 miles long. It was all hand dug, and it basically expanded the amount of farmable land by providing irrigation places away from the river. It's kind of a complicated system, but at the same time, it's very, very simple. It's just basically an artificial stream.
I see.
Yeah.
So the stream is running what can only be described as a Garden of Eden right now. Come, say, August, what might this look like with the San Antonio climate?
I've experienced the summer once here. This is my second year, so I've experienced the summer farming here. I've lived in San Antonio for a while, so I know about the heat. My strategy has been to kind of switch over to more cover crops, like cowpeas, things that are going to be enriching the soil and not worry as much about the productive crops until the fall. So I'll kind of, my game plan is to use the summer as a time to grow things that will enrich the soil and set us up for the fall, things that can handle the heat and that I don't have to worry as much about. So it'll probably look a little bit different, I think. If anybody who has a garden in San Antonio knows that the winter is really good, the spring and the fall are all great growing times, but the summer can be very, very hard.
In a lot of parts of the world, the summertime is where, like, the main produce is coming into harvest. But for here, summer is more, say, of a winter time as far as the garden goes.
In my I think there's other ingenious farmers that have found ways around this and actually grow things that can be productive commercially still through the summer. But it's just kind of my take on it is to, this is also volunteer run. So getting volunteers out in the 100 degree weather is also problematic. So I feel like I'm kind of expecting the work pool to shrink during the summertime. So kind of do things that are less intensive. And so that's the kind of take I'm giving this this summer garden.
But the key, regardless, is water.
The key is water, and we've been lucky with this year. It's so much rain. It's been a fluke. Actually, the past 2 years have been, we've been very, very lucky in terms of rainfall in the area. Droughts aren't going to go away, so it's going to be interesting to see how everything performs, in the drought years that are likely to come and hit us again in South Texas.
Well, we're anxious to follow your progress. Thanks for talking with us today, Torin.
Thank you.
So if water is key, the acequia must be the vehicle. Listen in as the park's education coordinator, Tom Castañas, gives us a live demonstration of how the acequia actually works.
We've been doing this farm demonstration now for close to 2 years with the help of Los Compadres, the San Antonio Conservation Society, San Antonio River Authority, all the great partners that have made this possible for us to demonstrate again. You'll forgive me if I'm a little bit focused toward school children, because that's my job here, but I think when we have the opportunity to make something work, when something moves and interacts, it's just such a better presentation, but not just for kids either. A lot of people have that ability to come here and imagine what this would have looked like, but why bother when we can actually do it? The water that I'm standing in was been diverted from the San Antonio River about 2.5 miles north of us. I was asked, is it flowing due to gravity? Less gravity, more simply about the force of the San Antonio River pushing water into this ditch. This is Acequia Madre, the mother ditch, the main ditch. This ditch was hand dug, and its total length is a little over 3.5 miles. Wherever they decided to put their crops, they would dig out these lateral ditches, secondary ditches, segundo. Then it would be up to the master farmer and the mayordomo, the ditch master, to determine when it was time to water which side and for how long. So the first step in that would be to close off the flow of the main acequia. In a matter of no time, we will build up a reserve, a reservoir of water right here at this little lock system. This technology comes to the Spanish after the Moorish invasion of Spain. So this technology predates Spain, but they in turn transplant that technology to the New World. understand that the Native Americans that lived in our San Antonio River Valley for tens of thousands of years were, in fact, hunter-gatherers. They really weren't doing anything in the way of farming. This technology, however simplistic the idea may seem, you have to be impressed with the idea that this is the very first time this occurred in this part of our world. So this was the pinnacle of technology for its era. This was the iPhone 77-1 for its time. This was going to make a job easier, like any tool should. So after, in just a short amount of time, we've already built up a significant reserve of water. It creates pressure. These small gates to each side, just like putting your thumb over the front of a garden hose, is going to allow that water to shoot to whichever side that we're going to send it. Today I'm going to send it off to my left. Now, I will apologize in advance. We're not going to water very long because we are actually trying to grow stuff, and this has been the weirdest 2 years in San Antonio history. We're full of water. Any given year, we could let this demonstration run for hours and then turn right around and do it again. Right now, we're actually pretty flooded, but we can still do it. So now that we've built up this reserve of water, it's just a simple matter of pulling one of the gates and sending the water to the fields to my left or right. We'll go down there and we'll actually see where it enters the fields. If y'all want to follow me.
The music on today's show was recorded live at the main plaza in downtown San Antonio. San Antonio, the Saga. It's a captivating 24-minute video art installation projected on the beautiful facade of San Fernando Cathedral, the oldest continuously functioning religious community in the whole big state of Texas. Created by Javier de Richemont, San Antonio the Saga narrates the history of the city and is beautifully choreographed with lights, music, and projection, four nights weekly. And it's free. For more information about the sights, sounds, and flavor of beautiful San Antonio, Texas, head over to visitsanantonio.com. And if you make it down that way, tell them we said hi.